We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Rates.
Thank you. No chairman was ever prouder of his panel than I am. Couth to a man, suave, urbane, distinguished in appearance as in achievement. I can't read the next bit, Frank. Meet John Amos and Frank Muir and their opponents, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. John, identify, please, some rousing music.
Sounds like a Bach suite to me.
Well, it sounds like Bach. It's good. It's the opening of something a little more devotional, seasonal.
Wait a moment, it's not in the minor key, so it can't be the Mass in B minor.
No.
It could be the opening of the Magnificat, but it's played very slowly, if that's so.
No, it's... you have a half marker. I think it's the opening of the Easter Oratorio. BWV 249.
Good, though. Fine, don't worry. Yes. Good start.
In a letter from Parramatta, Wellington, New Zealand, a school teacher named Velma Turner sends me some rather nice howlers that came from her kids in her school. One of them, for instance, read, "Passion music makes you swing from side to side." Excuse me. Frank, here's some violin playing by a master. You'll hear in this short extract three quite distinct techniques of violin playing. Leave it on for that bit.
The first one was pizzicato.
Yes.
Where the bow is gaily flung away. Yes. And the strings are plucked with the fingertips.
Indeed, yes. Bow is then retrieved.
And the last one was harmonic. It was harmonics.
Harmonics, yes.
Yeah, where you draw the bow very lightly and you get an octave above.
No, it's not the bow that does it, it's this hand that does it. This hand that touches the strings, the nodal point, very lightly, and the bowing is more or less normal.
Whoa, it touches the nodal point.
Anyway, harmonics.
And the middle one, I think, is when they loosen the bow and put the violin between it.
Yes. Well, yes. Arco is the word you were looking for.
What's arco?
Pardon? No, yeah,
it's a racehorse. Was that the tail of a racehorse? It's played with the tail of a racehorse.
It is, yes. No, it was Yasha Heifetz on that record. Our New Zealand school teacher, I quoted.
Parramatta.
One of her kids' answers, "The violin is slayed with a bow." True.
I had something sent in a review of some local group, which was printed in the newspapers. "Miss So-and-so is an aspirin opera star."
Ian, something highly dramatic for you to identify.
Alzati, la tuo figlio, a te concedo arriveder, nell'ombra del silenzio. Il tuo rossore lontani nascondi.
Composer anyway, but I'd like an opera too.
Oh yes, you can have an opera, yeah. Steve. Mm. That would be for me right back to the King's Theatre in Edinburgh in 1949, and a baritone called, well, that wasn't him, but my memory of that is a baritone called Paolo Silveri standing in front in a badly lit scene but with just one shaft of light as he looks up at a portrait over the fireplace, the portrait of the king, and he is the king's advisor and the king is in love with his wife, and he's going on in a minute to sing Eri Tu, one of the very, very famous baritone arias, which he said, it was you, yes, you who betrayed me.
From
Un Ballo in Maschera, The Masked Ball.
Yes, by Verdi, yes. The voice there was Cheryl Milnes.
But it wasn't Verdi.
From our New Zealand kids comes a new definition of opera for you. Opera, a group of people singing and sometimes acting.
Unfair.
Dennis, this isn't actually so much a test of you as a test of the composer Prokofiev. Which character in Romeo and Juliet was he depicting in this ballet music?
Could actually, in a way, be the nurse, really.
it really could, yes, actually, because she's so proscript.
I would think that it's too nice to be Tybalt, but it's a sort of a roistering, volatile sort of thing, so I'd say Mercutio.
Mercutio is right, yes.
There's a beerman there.
Again from Velma Turner's letter from New Zealand, a ballet is where you dance on your toenails. This is a who said round. John, who said, you have my works, leave me my follies? Rather touching remark, I think. You have my works, leave me my follies. I shall have to
tell you. Was it the man who ran invented the Folie Bergère?
No, far from it. No, he was too busy inventing the ring cycle. It was Wagner. Good. Richard Wagner. Frank, who said, I don't hate Meyerbeer, but I do loathe the very sight of him?
I don't hate Meyerbeer.
Yeah, but I do
Alec Guinness.
Such a word association.
There's a movement on the left which thinks it might be Wagner again.
It was Richard Wagner again who said
that.
Now
we got into the groove, you know, it's easy.
Yes.
Okay, well, fellas?
Ian, who said, I am surrounded by dear good friends who would welcome my humiliation?
A lot of people might have said that, mightn't they? Well, it can't be Richard Wagner again.
Yeah. I tell you, it was me.
Oh, Steve Wagner.
I said, I'm surrounded by dear good friends who would welcome my humiliation.
Where?
And was I wrong?
Where did
I
you
not wrong. I just said it.
Oh, you just said it. Dennis,
who said, all I need of the world is money. I have everything else.
Oh, well, the style and the content gives that away. That's you again.
Actually, it was Richard Wagner.
Well,
quite
similar. Yes.
Favourite musical quotation I came across only the other day by Janis Joplin.
Pop singer.
And she said, I'm saving the bass player for Omaha.
Dear, yes. I do want to tell you, for those Wagner quotes, I'm indebted to Rudolf Sabor. I got them from him. He does a very entertaining evening with Richard Wagner, and three of those quotes came from that. The fourth didn't. The fourth was me. Here's a quartet of questions concerning special days. For a mark, I want, please, the day and the month, like, say, May the 2nd, or March the 29th, or December the 3rd, whatever it may be. Month and day. John, you first.
I have had a dream.
A date, please, for that.
Midsummer's Night.
Yes, and when would that be, then?
When would that be? It would be the date when they recorded it was, I should think, about 1956.
How you deserve to succeed.
Owen Branigan was the singer. Right. Benjamin Britten was conducting. Shall I go on?
No, I won't. When is Midsummer Night?
Oh, it's June the 21st, isn't
June
it?
June 23rd stroke 4th.
All right.
Is summer night. According to one reference, anyway, if I'm wrong, don't write. Frank, what date, please, is this?
Your looks are laughable, unphotographable.
A date, yes.
It's Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Singing at his peak. Mm. It's My Funny Valentine.
Yeah. The date, then?
And the funny day is February 14th.
Yes. Yes, it is, that's right. Do people send you valentines, Frank? I think they might.
I don't know who sends them.
Terrible when you get
presumably they're people. Could be goats.
Ian, quite serious this. On which date did millions of us all over the world listen to this exultant shout?
For a moment, this might have been a trick question because it could have happened various times in our lifetime.
I did say millions of us all over the world.
Yes, but even so, I think King George the VI's coronation was also broadcast very widely. But when they said Viva Regina, it has to be the Queen's coronation, which was in June 1953.
Mm. The date in June, please?
Ah, well, now that's a bit of a teaser.
Do you want to wait a second and then tell me?
Wait a second. Seconds. The second. The second.
I don't know why people say I help you. I don't. Yes.
So the second?
Yes, June the 2nd, 1953.
Oh, I see.
Dennis, your turn. What date does this commemorate?
That's when the swallows come back to Capistrano.
That's right.
When do the swallows come back to Capistrano? Well, or when do they leave Capistrano? Yes. We work it out.
Well, I've never been at Capistrano when they did it.
Well, they would come back in the spring.
Strangely enough, I have. If the swallows just came back sometime in the spring, it wouldn't be worth writing a song about it. The extraordinary thing is the swallows come back to the mission of Capistrano in Southern California.
That's right.
On the same
day
every year.
Yes.
And you've got half a mark.
I know, I have.
Yes, the other half.
If it was easy, you wouldn't have asked me.
Why not just have a guess?
Go on, yes.
You've got a 1 in 360.
April the 10th. No.
You're not that lucky.
No.
March the 17th.
Yeah. You're getting very close. Mm. Does anybody in the audience know? Of course not.
April the 1st.
No. 19th of March. Mm. 19th of March. You're getting warm all the time.
Right. What a significant date.
Yeah.
I hope we'll all remember that.
Yeah.
When the swallows come back to
Capistrano.
Is a food, isn't it?
You have it on rye, right?
No, it's Italian food.
Order. Mm. I'm going to play the title lines on the piano of some songs with film titles. As it happens, they were not written for the films in question, though they do have the same titles. So, John, what film title does this song share?
Am I allowed to sing it?
Yes, you are.
I
cover the waterfront.
Is that
Leonard Bernstein wrote a score for the film.
On the waterfront, but this is not the same film. You're thinking about On the Waterfront.
You're confusing
us all. No, I Cover the Waterfront was the name of the film, and the song was written using the same title, but not for the film. Frank, your song stroke film has four syllables. Would you care to make a guess before I even play it?
Oklahoma.
No, this is it. Do you know the song?
Nope.
Dennis knows it.
Gone with the wind.
Yes, I'm afraid you drop a mark there.
That's a commercial for antacid powder.
Ian, in your case, I'm going to play you less than one bar and from the introduction at that. But you'll get the film title, I think. You ready?
Yep. Yes. Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain, yes. Again, of course, the song came long before the film did. Mm. Dennis, four syllables, like Frank's question. Again, a song written not for a film, but in honour of it. Right?
That's Georgie Fame's Bonnie and Clyde.
I thought you were going to say, I wait to see that evening sun go down. Yes, Bonnie and Clyde, that's right. Change of subject now. Which subject will become clear, I think, after you've heard some bits of music? John, where in one place will you find a tuba profunda, a chrysoglot damper, a diophone, and a tap xylophone? All in one place.
I think in the fourth circle of hell.
That's such a lovely answer. I propose to give you a mark for that.
Thank you very much.
And I'll play you a bit of Chopin provides the unmistakable answer.
Ah. Next time you have a question about what music do I detest most, well, that'll be the answer.
Well, when that bit was on, Sidney Harrison, the pianist, is in the audience. His face was a study. This particular Wurlitzer lives at the National Musical Museum in Brentford, which is only a couple of miles west of this theatre. From the organ's specification, I noticed that it has stop keys on the key rail as well as toe pistons. Frank, I found myself wondering what those keys and pistons might operate.
Well, pistons and stops operate the banks of various sounding pipes, either in banks or in combinations of various noises.
If you were playing away and you wanted and you sort of spared a foot for something on your Wurlitzer, what might it be?
Apart from bass notes?
Yes, apart from music even.
But is it the novelty items?
Yes.
The piano and the snare drum and the xylophone.
Novelty than that. The actual list is horse's hooves, bird whistle, fire gong, siren and surf. You've got to trigger those off with your two pistons, your stop keys. Ian, here's our Wurlitzer again, playing suitably woozy music. Title and composer.
Well, you may think that's woozy. I love it.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's one of my great favourite composers, Albert Cattelby.
Yes.
Mm. And I think that one is called Sanctuary of the Heart.
The Sanctuary of the Heart is right, yes.
Along with Bells Across the Meadow and In a Persian Yellow. Lovely.
I'm glad you like it. I'm a bit ambivalent. In that loveliest of lovely books, period piece by Gwen Ravera, there's a bit where she writes about soulful organ playing in church. She writes, I hated the unfair, juicy way the organ notes oozed round the roof and made you want to cry about nothing at all. I like my music dry, not wet. Dennis, a less oozy piece. In fact, it's quite a showpiece if you can get it under control. Listen. Success. Done.
That was always announced in one breath as though it was one word, as Monty's Chardas.
Yes, who wrote it?
Yeah. I know that there was supposed to have been an audition where they wanted somebody, I think it may have been to play the cinema organ, they said, will you have a go at Chardas? And the bloke played. Da 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 dee da 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 da. But it's very easy to put down the cinema organ. It was brought a lot of pleasure to a lot of people.
Indeed, including me. My greatest ambition at one time in my life was to play one.
Yeah. I'm not putting it down entirely, but I just hate it when it plays Chopin or something like that, which is not suited for.
I remember a concert years and years and years ago at Alexandra Palace when the conductor of a winning band turned round and said, that was 1812 Overture and now Tiger Rag. That's all right, it's a brass band piece, you see. That's the point, I think, maybe. Songs of Hope conclude our programme this week. In John's case, Whispering Hope, American, originally a duet, now a solo, briefly for the Amos tenor voice.
Whispering Hope.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard. Hope with a gentle persuasion whispers a comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over, wait till the tempest is done. Why hope for the sunshine tomorrow after the shower is gone? Whispering hope, oh, I welcome thy voice, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice. Whispering hope, oh, I welcome thy voice, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice.
Noel Coward claimed that he wrote I'll See You Again, or thought it up anyway, while riding in a New York taxi. I wonder if he might have got out if he'd known that Frank would have to sing. Here's the song.
Don't sing it like a New York taxi driver. It's such a lovely song, this. I just have to apologise in advance for not being able to sing. At least it'll remind you of it.
There's your note.
There?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, it is not my note. I'll see.
You don't know how high it's going, do you, Rachel?
I'll see you again whenever spring breaks through again. Time may lie heavy between, but what has been is past forgetting. This sweet memory across the years will come to me. Though my life may go awry, in my heart will ever lie just the echo of a sigh. Goodbye.
Dennis offers one of the perkiest of the hello songs, Pardon Me, Pretty Boy.
Pardon me, pretty baby. Is it yes, is it no, is it maybe? Pardon me, pretty baby. Don't I look familiar to you? Oh, come on, get acquainted. There's a bench in the park, newly painted. Good idea, honey, ain't it? Well, at least it's something to do. Was it London when I met you? Was it underneath the moon? Was it Bournemouth? Was it Peebles? How can you forget so soon? Goodness me, now it's raining. Could you go for some home entertaining? Pardon me, no explaining. Don't I look familiar to you? You or you or you? You. I came to a conclusion last week. You know how some people have what musicians call perfect pitch. I have what cricketers call bumpy pitch.
Well, we come to the blinding light now. The Beggar's Opera was the hit of the London season in the year, Frank?
Oh, what, 1730?
28, jolly good. Ooh. 1728. And 30, probably, because it lasted a long time. Ian's final song for this edition is the one that begins, If the Heart of a Man.
Right. If the heart of a man is depressed with cares, the mist is dispelled when a woman appears. Like the notes of a fiddle, she sweetly, sweetly raises our spirits and charms our ears. Roses and lilies her cheeks disclose, but her ripe lips are more sweet than those. Press her, caress her, with bliss is her kisses, dissolve us in pleasure and soft repose. Roses and lilies her cheeks disclose, but her ripe lips are more sweet than those. Press her, caress her, with bliss is her kisses, dissolve us in pleasure and soft repose.
Thank you, Lockett.
My teeth, actually.
Oh, well. Anyway, at the end of our gay half hour, the final score shows a victory. Not for anybody this week, it's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.